Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and our guest this week is grandmother Karina Sarinen, who, if you are a longtime listener, you may have heard my other shows with her. And today we are going to do a journey on death as an ally and grief as a training. So if you are driving or doing something that requires your full attention, I definitely recommend that you hit pause and come back to this later when you can rest perhaps in front of your altar or on a couch or in a chair and be fully focused and present for this. Not necessarily for this, but for your own sake of your attention. I wouldn't want to take you into a trance state or a healing state while you're driving. That's dangerous. So just please check in with yourself and see whether now is a time to listen to this journey or whether to put a bookmark in and listen to it in a few hours or tomorrow or something. And so we're about to listen to a little snip of a song by Maria Stark. This song is called Breaking the Silence. And after that, we will begin our journey.
Woman telling her story, come on. From the heart of the mystery, dispelling years of violence. We are breaking the silence. Woman telling her story, come on. From the heart of the mystery, dispelling years of violence. We are breaking the silence. Breaking the silence, 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 breaking the silence.
Welcome, Grandmother Karina.
Thank you, Miss Natalie Ross.
I'm so excited to do our journey today, Death as an Ally and Grief as a Training. Thank you so much for tuning into this and channeling through whatever is going to come through this wheel today as we traverse the directions.
You're so welcome. It's my journey. It's the purpose of my life.
And real quick, for anyone who may be new who's listening, do you want to give an introduction or share, you know, a little bit about who you are?
Sure. Nimi on Karina Natalie Saarinen. Minon Suomalainen Tyttö. I just said that the official Finnish pronunciation of my name. I am a Finnish woman, and I was born in Sault Ste. Marie, the juxtaposition of Lake Superior, Gichikume, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, Anishinaabe Spirit Lake, and that is the heart of North America. These teachings come from the Golden Reindeer Moon Lodge, from my maternal grandmother, Momo Maria Josefina Huki. Her name means Maria, Holy Mother, the Great Mother Ocean. Josefina is Joseph of the Josephus lineage, and Huki, Hu is a sacred seed syllable for releasing grief, and Ki is the individualist life force. So I come by this genomic display of ability, and it's taken me this lifetime to be able to have the courage to really live this and step into this wheel and do this work conscientiously. So that's who I am, and I'm currently recording this with Natalie looking out on Bear Cove.
Well, I wish I was there.
I wish you were here too. I don't have a hammock, but I have a great Muskoka chair that you could lie down in and just bleed your way through the new moon.
Sounds good.
I'm looking at Douglas firs. I'm looking at Bear Cove, and it's a little marina compared to the big marina 15 minutes north of here called Port Hardy. And we're one of the last correlations of human population, and most of the human population comes up here in the summer and gets on a ferry and goes over to Prince Rupert, and they go to the mainland of British Columbia, or they take another ferry to the Haida Gwaii. And so we are really in the Northwest tectonic plate shaking and shimmering area, and I love being here. I have to say, though a young woman who's applying to be my assistant said, why don't you come to Portland? I said, no, I need people to come here to see what grandmother wakes up to. and the motivation for my life and my work, especially in this death as ally, especially in this time of great grief on the planet.
Thank you. And I'm just so grateful to have you as an elder in my life and to be able to share you with my listeners because, you know, we've talked about this before on other shows, but the whole concept of elders versus olders is something that's so lost on this society and so needed. And it's just so awesome that you are willing and able to do this kind of stuff and just step up and turn on Skype and be here. And, you know, I just want to say also happy upcoming birthday. Anyone Yay. Who's listening, send Karina, Grandma Karina here some birthday wishes because she will be... She will
seven
be
zero.
Seven, seven zero. In just a little over a week, or I don't know, as time of this airing, it'll be coming up real quick. So happy birthday, Karina, Grandma.
Thank you. And my middle name is Natalie.
I love that.
One born of the light.
Awesome. So, Grandmother.
Yes.
Do you want to lead us into what we're going to do today?
Say. Okay, taking a deep breath in, aligning the spine to your divine posture. Remind yourself that you have a crown of magnificence at the crown of your head and that your sits bones are having a seat in sovereignty and that your roots go below the foundation of wherever you are seated, and hopefully you will have time to listen to this on the earth. And this root chakra goes down into the soil through the gravel beds, down into the subterranean realms of the sedimentary rock, the igneous rock, hundreds and thousands of years of glacial life, into this island, Vancouver Island, into millions of years, and then into the source water, the water that connects all water. Allow yourself to recognize that there's nothing you need do but to rest. Relax, breathe deeply, and surrender. As you sink deeper into the awareness of the preciousness of Pachamama, Mama Gaia, Mother Earth, know that your most compassionate ancestors are accompanying you on this journey today. A journey where we reclaim death as an ally, a journey through ages and stages wheel, a journey through the grief, unexpressed, needs to be vocalized, it needs to be not diminished, but optimized as an experience and expression to heal the heart of humanity. Allow yourself to recognize that in the crystal realm, there's a circle of elders, grandmothers, each of whom is grandfathered. These grandmothers are the closest Tutsetswari, the grandfather fire. Behind them are their grandfathers, the spiritual grandfathers, the ones who taught them the great significance of being hallowed, holy, and sacred women. Grandmothers are the ones who know the sacredness of the womb. We hold the sacred skulls, the skulls that lead us to the mystery schools of all ancient teachings. A relinking to one source, to one time, to one space, to one unadulterated, well, that's a good word, potential. A potential to create something new. As you sink deeper into those crystalline core grandmas with the skulls and teachings, just feel yourself at your root chakra level through the soles of your feet, through your sits bones, through the coccyx and perineum, up your spine. Feel yourself realigning and reconnecting to 4 to 7 billion years of Earth life. And as you let that life force climb up your spine, recognize as we open the portal of the East, that the sun shines for thee, that all that has been hidden, including your genius and gifts, can be brought to the light today, that this is an impersonal task that you consciously, voluntarily take on on behalf of your lineage. You do this because there are so many beings hungry to have you serve as an instrument and a voice for reality. A reality that is over because it is past. A reality that cannot be diminished because we have created a conflux of conflict, an incongruence with the deepest heart desire of all of humanity for harmony, peace, truth, love, joy, hope, charity, generosity, and a faith in the universal laws. You come to this moment because you have some knowing, consciously or unconsciously, that unexpressed loss prevents you from stepping as an aquarium water bearer into this new time on planet Earth. Aren't you curious? Aren't you willing? Aren't you tired of putting a lid, feeling suffocated, suppressed, oppressed, depressed, and wanting all this symptomology, which actually is a leader, is a guide for you, to be honored and acknowledged as a language? So here in the East, we open the portal to your ages and stages first and foremost. An age preconception. So I invite you, in the light of this day, in this moment when you're listening to the recording, to be aware that you consciously chose your mother. You consciously chose this paradigm called victim, persecutor, rescuer. You consciously chose to slip into the duality, the either or, instead of both and. You consciously chose to take on these lessons, genomically echoing from many past lifetimes. You're not a victim. Today, you're a co-creator, awakening to responsibility, to accountability, and to the love that is this light, of this solar light today. So take a deep breath in. Notice where your breath is coming from. So often we block it just at the bottom of our diaphragms. We block it in the solar plexus. We don't go down and breathe through the umbilicus. We don't go down and breathe through the dantian, an inch and a half below the umbilicus. We don't breathe from our roots. And because we don't breathe, our bodies get distressed. We need oxygenation. We need the perineum. We need this life force. We need the compassionate ancestors whose deaths are truly a source of deep treasure and wisdom. They died for us. We are the bequeathment. We are the receptacles of the wisdom of these compassionate ones who died somewhere anonymously, unmarked graves, and or huge, fastidiously kept mausoleums, expensive coffins, amazingly gratuitous funeral homes. And all of that was for the living, not for the ones who passed over. So here on your ages and stages wheel, preconception, know that you are sitting and or standing in a council of your ancestors. That way beyond this Earth's atmosphere, beyond Google Earth and atmospheric interference by satellites, way beyond the Russian astronaut who's up there in a spaceship, way beyond that, to the newest sphere, and even beyond that, and I don't know the name of those spheres, but if Earth was a acupuncture point in this part of the universe, there are concentric circles that are spheres, that if we engage these spheres, we can break through and break open and expand and be aware of our celestial knowing. Today, my darlings, I want you to know that it's truth. Death is the greatest illusion. And the trauma we've created around death perpetuates a deep self and other and earth violence. You can't buy ourselves out of death. but you can clear the karmic residue. You can resonate a new frequency like hue and do dance and movement to release the deaths of your ancestors. Back to the council. You're surrounded. You are simply ultimate potential. The council shows you other planets. We call it the planetary distribution system. You choose planet Earth. Why? Because it's a garden. It's a heart. It's a place to grow. It's a living experiment. What are the principles and spiritual laws within which humanity can eventually evolve and become the cradle bearers of a new species on planet Earth? So take a moment to realize what you have to give up as I share this journey into the silence, into the stillness. My blessed one, what harmful images and beliefs, what configurations must you surrender to the light of the East? Hey-yo, 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 hey-yo. Hey yo, 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 hey yo.
Woo!
And allow your body to make a sound as you descend into the mother of your choice. And look behind her. Who's her mother? Look behind her. Who's her grandmother? How far back can you trace it? Great grandma. Great-great-grandma, great-great-great-grandma, great-great-great-great-grandmother. And let's go six generations, shall we? The mother, the grandmother, the great-grandmother, the great-great-grandmother, the great-great-great-grandmother, the great-great-great-great-grandmother, and the great-great-great-great-grandmother. Crowned with your magnificence, you are beyond so many delusional places that are, they're not just hiccups. They are gulches that create a separation between you and your true nature, you and your true potential, you and your true abilities to love your chosen life here on planet Earth as a living experiment. You have chosen, and there are prayers coming at you from your past. Let them come. There's a crown above your head of magnificence. Let it settle down on your crown. There's a throne that you have assumed, sovereignty. Understand that you are royal and holy. No separation between the holy family and the royal family. In the Buddhaic realm, we say there's only one Buddha family. One for each of the five chakras in Tibetan Buddhism. In this ages and stages wheel of the East, feed that point of conception. Instead of celebrating your birthday today, celebrate the time of conception. If your moms are still in form, ask them. What was your conception like? What was the setting? What was it like for you to be penetrated by your father, who she chose for you? No blame, no shame, no complaint. You chose mother, she chose father. And she chose the moment of your conception. Unless, as some women that I'm journeying with deep heart, have been conceived in rape and taken in violence, that too can be undone today. Take a moment to realize that. You can release this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You are worthy of reconception as a sacred being. We call upon the mountains, the great Apus of the Andes, Asangati, Salcante, Wiranica, Wiracocha, San Juan. And when the Andes were overtaken by the Catholics and Spaniards, the Andean Quero nation were intelligent enough to name a mountain after the Christ, Jesus Christus. For he was a master who walked amongst us. Some would want to call him a superior man, and he would laugh at that. He would laugh at the duality inherent in that kind of comparison. Jesus Christus walked amongst us as a master, a simple man living a simple life, knowing fully what his soulful and heartful purpose was in this great experiment. So name your mountains. Name the mountain to which you go, and if it's a hill, name it. Understand your inner land is a landscape, not an escape, but a place to go. My mountains here in British Columbia, Mount Curry. In Alaska, Mount McKinley. Mount Blackcomb, Mount Whistler. The Stuantmas, Chief and Squamish. Mount Hood in Oregon. And the beautiful Shasta Mountain. We name the Rocky Mountains in our blessed Colorado and the Appalachians in North Carolina. The Adirondacks in New York. And where my ancestors still resonate mantras, the Himalayas. For deep within the mountain is a crystal core accessing water, total alkaline water. That is the medicine we need for the radiography that still emanates from Chernobyl, that threatens us from Fukushima, that alters our genetics in Nagasaki. Hiroshima. We have the medicine, water, alkalinity, comes from the heart of mountains. So rest in this knowing. Experience it now that you know this. Are you willing to let yourself be wholly conceived, wholly gestated for three trimesters by the mother of your choice, in a location of yours and her choice, for all lived experience is an agreement between two. Masters gave the same teaching. Where two or more are gathered, the greater I am or great spirit is. We have simply forgotten the connection, the communion with saints, ascended masters, archangels, angels, Buddhas, all the great ones who walk this planet walk with you today here in the East. You've never been alone. Never. Take a deep breath in as you absorb that as truth. As you focus now on the inhale, taking your inhale up through the second chakra, through the umbilicus, into the third chakra, in between the breasts, into the grail of the heart, through the throat, into the third eye, and focus on your third eye. See in your age and stage if there's been a change here in the East. More light, more awareness, more conscientiousness, more acceptance. Who or what are you now? At what age and stage? Here in the East, if we overlay the grief wheel, Shambhala warrior training, the grief wheel begins in the East with something called CONFUSION. And I divide it in three. Con, meaning with, fuse, fusing, ion. This is a biochemical experience called confusion. It establishes itself in the mental body. Was your mother confused at your conception? Was your father confused? And therefore, in the womb waters of your journey, in this life did you absorb through the umbilicus, through that endometrial love affair and also hate affair? Did you absorb confusion? Do I really want to be here? Can you change that right now? Could it have been mom who sent you this message? Do I really want to leave being a woman and become a mother? A cry of death. Death of woman into mother. Death of so-called freedom from adolescence or adulthood into the labor and delivery and caretaking of a child for at least 17 to 18 years. This is death. Implicit in conception, inherent in that moment, wrapped up in the spiral of your umbilicus, lives the seed of death. And it's in your soul body. It is not foreign territory. It is denied. And today, let's open that portal to death and call it in. Death, however I perceive you, however I and humanity has imaged you, come to me as a completely loving ally. Come, death. Walk with me on my ages and stages wheel. Walk with me in my life. Breathe it in. Give it space. If it's too frightening to have it in your body, put it to the left or the right or in front of you on your sacred medicine wheel. Give death time and space today. Honor it as a compassionate ally. Honor it in whatever form it chooses to take in consensual agreement with you, your spirit. There's so many languages beyond English. There's so many languages beyond the romantic languages. There are so many languages encoded in our bones, in the skeleton as it dances. And did you know death loves to dance? And did you know death as an ally loves to sound? It loves to shriek and scream on a full moon night until your top of your crown pops open with a silver ray and you re-commune with the sacred woman of this cosmos. Death has so many tools. It has so many treasures and gifts to give us, and yet we are death-defying and death-denying. Why? Ask yourself in this ages and stages wheel, in this moment, in silence, in stillness, why are you afraid of death? Why was your mother afraid of death? Why was your father afraid of death? Why was your family death and grief denied? What was the sickness that was consciously or unconsciously created because of the defiling of the ancestral cemeteries, the graveyards, the sacred places where we went to worship Great Spirit, not those who are passed on, but celebrated their life. In the Mexican culture, October 31st, there is a huge festival starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, sunrise. The motivation to rise that day is to create a parade complete with bands. Little children are dressed up in their best wearing apparel. The elders are walking in grief and yet dignity. And they walk to the local cemeteries. The cemeteries have little houses built over their beloved's last resting place. They often put picnic cloths on the earth. They bring out their best dishes. They drink wine or beer, and they tell stories. Remember? What was that day for you? They listen. They laugh. They cry. No matter how long that one's been passed over, there are still tears. And slowly as the grief wheel moves through our soul bodies, and our hearts light up with the joy of having known that one being, we suddenly realize we are still family. We're still one. There's no separation. In the Pueblo tradition in New Mexico, October 31st, November 1st, they do a huge ceremony called the Ghost Dance, and I've been invited this year, and I shall go. I love to dance, and I know what death wants me to do. I know my ghosts that are haunting me, and actually I've listened to them, so they're not haunting me so much, but some of you may be haunted. Some of your family members may be haunted. These dances are crucial at certain times of the year. The ending of spring into summer, summer solstice. The ending of summer, fall equinox, into autumn and harvest. The ending of autumn into winter. The death season of stillness. If we simply follow the solar seasons and these high solar holidays and celebrate them in some way, we will renew and reinvigorate our faith that this life is a celebration. Every day is one big death. Rising up, you leave your death sleep behind. You go to high noon, the longest shadow. You go to 4 to 5 in the evening. End of the afternoon. You go into dusk and enter night, another ending. Why do we deny death? Why do we stay so plugged up mentally, emotionally, physiologically, anatomically constipated until we create tumors, cysts, and even more? We call them viruses and diseases, but the greatest virus is fear of death. Here in the East, these are all the inquiries. As you urgently take on the task of laboring and delivering yourself, inherently worthy of belonging to a family lineage. And so we end this journey in the East, inherently worthy of joining a lineage on Earth. It's called the continuum. Let's move, shall we, on this ages and stages wheel and the grief wheel to the south. Walk 7 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Open the portal. To the guardians and keepers of the south gate, we invite you to be here now. We invite the snakes of life to be here now. We invite this serpent to crawl up our spine. We invite this serpent to enter our occiput that we may see through the eyes of light, smell with the nose of light, taste light, and listen to the light codes and light languages reiterated every night in celestial skies. For we are from the stars. And are we not born innocent? Were we not knowing that in this lifetime we would be the ones to reclaim our lineages, inheritances, not just the burdens of the pain bodies of mothers, not just the guilt, doubt, fear, and shame of our fathers, but to say that we are the one. And in this statement, say this with me. We are the ones we have been waiting for. This time of prophecy is here amongst each and every one of us. We are the ones we have been waiting for. We are the ones to remember the codes of light, the encoding of our light bodies connected to our etheric bodies, mental bodies, emotional bodies, moving through the pain bodies into the soul, into embodiment. Remember, here, from infant into toddler into childhood, you took a stand. Remember that? Your body rolled over backwards and forwards, and you learned how to shift your body weight and land on all fours and do your version of table. Then you put your belly down and stretched up in your version of upward dog. And eventually, you put your hands on a table or a leg and you pulled yourself up and took a stand for standing. You have inherent with you an incredible universal intelligence to rise, to ascend, to allow yourself to cry, to communicate, to scream, to make gurgling sounds, to burp, poop, fart, to puke. All of this is communication in the South. But the grief wheel is scared. Feel where scaredness lives in your toddler childhood self. The scaredness that no one will come when you cry. Abandonment resonates within your soul. Scaredness that you were rejected at conception and birth by your mother, who gave you up to a doctor, an allopathic doctor, and a cold delivery room, and her feet in silver steel stirrups, riding not her own will, but the will of hospitalization. Rejection. Doubt in your heart. Are you worthy of breathing here and taking a stand? And who's standing with you? Well, we are, my loves. Death is your ally. Let death take that scaredness away right now. Impersonal. Remind yourself you signed the waiver form. This is not your Me Too story. This is a We Are All In This Together story. A time to return to prophecy, to the ancestral wisdom of one field, one common ground, one time, one space, one love, one truth. We all belong. There's nothing to steal, no jealousy or envy required. To be a toddler toddling on the edge of its own independence, its own joyous communion with its ball and socket joints inside its hips, its own joy and determination to take, yes, look, my feet can move. I have brown Oxfords tied onto my feet, and my feet are moving. A grandmother's conscious memory of Nathan's first walks. And yes, he was young, 11 months old. But what joy in his little body. A determination that reminded me of his mother when she used to walk him around the neighborhood in the baby carrier. He bodily embodied her rhythm and determination. What have you embodied from your mother as she walks on this planet and walked when you were a toddler? It's not yours. This configuration can be released now. Exhale. Shoo. Death. Imagine again that you're standing, reaching out. What are you reaching out to? What's your go-to? Who's your go-to? How does that wrap you up in the warmth of a beating heart? for those of us who were not breastfed, we did not feel a beating heart of welcome. We felt the beating heart and palpitations of an 18, 19-year-old mother who was scared. And so we became self-reliant, or so we thought. We actually became lone wolves. Who, if our mother, could we now trust? It wasn't till later that I realized in the south gate of my ages and stages wheel that my mother and father, they had their scaredness, but the important figure in my life was my paternal grandmother, Fandi Amanda Nyamina. Here on this south gate, when she passed my first death, July 11, 1949, and I turned one, July 18, 1949, I realized fully in her passing over that she bequeathed me with light, my mother with light, and her only begotten son with light. And in that transmission of light, I was initiated to trust. Trust in the light. Trust in the light of truth. Trust that there is light beyond the loss of form. Trust that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Trust that there is light at the end of grief. Trust that there is light in the middle of the greatest storm, that we never walk alone, and we will be reborn. Trust was her bequeathment in the south gate to this grandmother. What was yours? As much as your body may resonate with the fear of rejection, abandonment, and doubt of your worth, there was still beyond that a bequeathment. Go beyond the pain. Expand, explore, discover what treasure waits for you. From this crystalline core into the light of more and more and more. What's here? When you let death take away scaredness. I've been waiting for you so long. I've been waiting for you so long. I've been waiting for you, waiting for you, waiting for you so long. What many of us realized, what my young mother and young father realized, is that there are many beings who are like godparents, fairy angels, guardians and mentors watching us. Some of us are fortunate enough to have had them in our south gate time of life in the physical. We had them. My mother was so full on with our family businesses inherited when my grandmother died, the Nicolette boarding house and draft room. She was 19 when she birthed me, 19 when she inherited this, 19 when she became overwhelmed. And she was wise enough to realize, as my father was, growing up in Fintown, Sault Ste. Marie, Northern Ontario, to hire Finnish people to clean the hotel, to continue the tradition of our grandmother. Create employment for your own village. And in those days, at one and older, I used to crawl around a draft room and empty on Sundays the leftover beer in the bottles on the floor. I discovered one great, gorgeous, sunlit Sunday that if I went into the men's bathroom, who the women hadn't cleaned yet, I saw water cascading out of this white ceramic mountain. I thought it was a shower. You see, we had no showers in our basement apartment. So I stood there as best I could, showered in a man's urinal. what more is possible. When you are innocent and a child and trusting life and have been given the gift of light, what more is possible but to imagine, well, here's a shower. And yes, the shrieks and howls and laughter of our finished cleaning ladies. They all laughed as one of them retrieved me from the urinal and brought me out onto the main floor. And they all showered me with hugs. And so my 19-year-old grandmother was overwhelmed, but I was held in the arms of duckies, of ladies, of women, chattering away like finished chatterboxes. And I knew love, safety, warmth, laughter. It wasn't a solo performance on the part of my mother. She was not totally responsible for me. I was being raised by a village. And at that point in my life, a village of women. Hence my current resonance to villages and women. And so we close this south gate, villages and women. And we walk 7 steps to the west. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Adolescence and adulthood. From the south to the west, we go through this portal of pubescence. Natalie can vouch for this. If we have not had initiations to our first blood, or our first wet dreams as young men, we wonder if we're dying. At least I did. When I saw blood in the toilet bowl, again, white ceramic seems to be the container of a lot of water in my childhood. I saw blood and I immediately almost passed out. I cried for my mother. I thought I was dying. She had a package already, a book, and pads, and in those days, an elastic garter belt-like appliance. She did not come with me. She did not sit on that bathroom floor. She did not look into the toilet bowl. She did not tell me her story of first blood until I was much older and ready to engage in the trauma of that. She left me alone, and had I known what I knew today, I would have called on my ancestors' most compassionate ones. I would have sensed in an expanded way rather than the contraction of my trauma and fear that I was dying and I was just a young girl. And in that contraction, I forgot that I had the spirit of my grandmother. I had the spirit of these duttis, these funnies, these Selma duttis, these Luti duttis, these Mary duttis, these older women, and they were in their 30s and 40s, and at that age I thought they were old. I could have asked any of them. My mother was too contracted herself. She was going through a death. Her firstborn child was ending childhood. Pubescence and adolescence were about to unfold. In this moment on your age and stage wheel, how was that for you? We're about to enter the wheel of the West, the gate of the West, called despair. Some of us still carry scaredness. Some of us already are wallowed up in our mother's despair, or feeling our grandparents dying and not knowing what to do. Name the death, but more importantly, the leaving, the dying of a cycle in your life. Write it down. Say an appointment with destiny that you will journey with that. How was your go-to's response? Your mother, your father? These are influencing how you live your life fully, how you commit to moving to another territory, how you commit to celebrating your 70th year and recognizing something is dying, and yet in the emptiness, something is about to be born again. Yes, born again. For elders are reincarnating, a longevity cycle, because we take on love as the antidote to grief. In the West, name what your despair was, what your mother's and father's despair was, adolescence into young adulthood. This is where the rites of passage are really starkly pointing us to a dark mirror. We look into the mirror at 15, 16, 17, and we want our peers' approval. We want to know what the rest of our life is going to be like. We want to know if we're worthy enough or beautiful enough or slim enough, or will someone kiss us, date us? Will we ever have sex? What will that be like? Write out all the questions that you wrote or did not write in your journal of that age and stage. Feel what it's like not to have someone consciously accompany you. Feel what it's like to feel alone, like you have to do certain things and look certain ways in order to win approval, in order to actually grow up. Does a sunflower do that? Does a Sitka spruce do that? Does a raccoon do that? Does a humpback whale do that? No. Sadly enough, no wonder there's so much unexpressed grief, unavoidable grief, especially in North America where we don't celebrate the ages and stages and rites of passage. So much grief amongst the young. I grieve. And sometimes I go into despair as an elder and a grandmother at this West Gate because I see so much bullying. I was bullied when I was in high school by Ian McGregor, the son of Inspector McGregor of our Sault Ste. Marie school board. He bullied me, poked me in the middle of my back between my scapula in math class. He knew I was shy. I was 15. But there was something else that he wanted, and I didn't know what it was. And I was afraid to turn around and even look at him because he was 8 inches bigger and certainly 30 pounds heavier. And there was something about his quote-unquote status, which I really didn't know anything about, but he carried it. But it was a burden called status. And one day I turned around and I had no idea I would do this. And he had a penknife open with the blade the length of my baby finger. And I turned around to say, "Stop it! This stops now!" And the penknife pierced the venous mound of my left feminine hand. A rite of passage, an initiation. I finally got my fire enough in the West Gate of my life to say, enough, I will not be bullied. And I was shocked to see blood spurting out of my left palm. The Venus mound, the place of love, the feminine, the place of my woman that I was just growing up into. And more, I was shocked to see his shock. We were both traumatized, but I was more concerned about my wound than about his shock. Needless to say, the math teacher took him out into the hallway, immediately down to the vice principal's office and called his father. I was womb wounded. This was a replication and an echo of a wound when my mother was 15 and her first blood. And her father smelt her first blood and came to her and said, "I will be the first man to take you now. You are a whore." And that echo went so deep into her core. And because she never told me, it echoed deep into my wound and my womb and my core. And she escaped through a celestial window from their basement apartment and never went back home. Her mother helped her to go to her aunts and uncles to take refuge. And she was initiated into life in the extended family. The village raises a child and provides sanctuary if the parents are unable or unwilling. At 15, I was wound up in my left palm. I didn't know it was an echo, but I knew something was over. I knew this was death, and I knew no one was going to stomp on me or hit me or bully me like that ever again. I felt the fierceness that was in my mother. When I was in grade 8, another bully was bullying me at a bus stop across the street from our house. We had moved into a house. She took her wicker broom and came running down the stairs all the way across the street to the bus stop and whacked the kid in the back of his heart chakra. Heart chakras, interesting, isn't it? And told him never to speak like that to her daughter again. I saw something ending in her and something ended in me. There was less and less fear and more fierceness. So fast forward yourself in this moment of despair, this watery realm of emotional sinking into depression and afraid of actually saying no. Are there moments of fierceness in you and your mother and your very godmothers, your fathers, your mentors, those who, like grandmothers, would come up and say, no way, Jose, this ends now, because here in the Westgate, you need the fire. Need the fire to rise up from the depths of sorrow rather than drown in despair. You need fire. You don't need an antidepressant. You need St. John's wort. You need the grief homeopathy. You need Ignacia, the ignition to say that you need to be here on the surface of your life, bouncing back into the love of this sun, of this solar system, of this universe, and you belong on shore. Hear my call to you. Don't drown in your ancestors' pain bodies. Get up. Stop drinking. Stop sitting with your head in your lap when you get your pension check or your Wednesday check. So many of our indigenous rooted ones and our bullied ones end up in East Vancouver or on the streets. They get a check and they spend it on alcohol. Martin Prechtel says that's unexpressed grief, and that in a village we would sit next to them and someone would go take care of the goats and someone would feed their children. But here we judge, and I confess I do too. I am confused, scared, I feel the despair and pain body, and I'm furious because no money can bring back a true Indigenous Native elder. No money can reclaim an Indigenous culture. No money can take care of a council and a tribe, but the tribe itself. And it starts with elders reclaiming the inheritance of generations beyond residential schools. So West, the pain body, the gate, is deep. It runs circles around itself. It runs circles through cultures of immigration patterns. Maybe your ancestors came still sad, wanting to return to Italy, or wanting to reclaim Finnishness in Finntown, in Thunder Bay, in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in Montana. There's unclaimed despair. Take time in your ages and stages wheel to claim it, to cry. Create a wailing wall for yourself. Create a time and space during your moon time, your pre-menopause, your menopause. Create a time to grieve for the loss of rites of passage, the loss of initiations, the loss of a conversation that this is an initiation, the loss of go-tos. So we have a loss, grief overlaid on an ages and stages wheel. Close the West Gate, knowing you have allies called death that walks with you, tools from ancestors that you need to dig up literally through walking, talking, singing, crying, telling the story, reminding yourself that the time of your first experience of death is a story worth telling. Completely enacting, shamanically responding to the call of death. Walk 7 steps to the north. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. North gate open with your guardians and ancestors, the Aurora Borealis, the great teachings, the four-leggeds, the winged ones, the creepy crawlies, the guardians who are stewarding our natural resources, the generative adults that are in training to become elders and medicine people. People holding with great compassion ceremonies all around the world, reclaiming the indigeneity no matter what color, culture, or creed. Reclaiming a native intelligence grounded and funded by trees on mountainsides. Grounded and funded by those strong enough to say no more. Here is the place of anger. Here is the place of frustration and annoyance that eventually builds up and becomes anger. And when let loose, it becomes rage. Here is the place where despair and suicide becomes homicidal rage. If we do not create the landscape where this can be safely felt and expressed. Here is the place where, in symptomology and allopathy, we have unruly patients. We have inconvenient truths. Something my first husband called me many years ago before the movie was made, by the way. Something that a British author, a female, wrote years ago. And my declaration here in the North is, my darlings, be inconvenient truths. Discover the truth in your lifeline, in your story. Go beyond gossip and rumor spread from one sister and brother to one parent to another. Discover who got buried in your family story. Who got buried in the roots of shame and guilt and fear. Be fierce and furious to dig it up, because it's going to take fire to dig it up. I discovered, for instance, that even though I had written an invitation to my paternal grandparents, Grandpa Toivol and Martha Dutty, to come to my wedding May the 1st, 1971 in Sault Ste. Marie, that I didn't follow up and follow through and ask why didn't they come from Sudbury? It wasn't that far. And why didn't my aunt and uncle come with their 2 boys? Why wasn't my father's family represented wholeheartedly at my wedding? And then I discovered that there had been a falling out and that I had been wrapped up in that karmic thread of anger, annoyance, judgment, conflict. And it was a contraction that at the soul level harmed me. It harmed my sister, it harmed my brother. And so when I broke that contract, and in this and all other lifetimes, I invite you to do that. Whatever contract you're furious about, frustrated, annoyed, angry with one of your parents about, break that contract now. Take it to Titwari, to the fire. Burn it. Hiya. And if you want, in this moment, in the privacy of your home, scream it. Squeeze your fists, squeeze your eyeballs, squeeze your hands, squeeze your toes, squeeze your buttocks. Nobody knows but you and the ancestors that want to release through you. Squeeze it out. Do a dance of fury. Do a dance of rage. Take the heels and stomp it. Enough is enough. Find that place where, even if you don't know what enough is, just stomp it out and insight will come. Make an assignment as you go through these 4 directions of these wheels on ages and stages and honor death as an ally. That death and the ghosts are haunting you. They make you eat when you're nervous. They make you take one more joint of marijuana when you start feeling angry. They make you stick a needle in your arm when you don't want to feel the sorrow and the grief and the pain of your first marriage. They develop into diabetes, into asthma, into triple heart bypasses that doesn't really deal with the root source and causal level, which is the pain of unexpressed grief. Death is your ally here in the North. Be a generative adult. Go into nature at the roots of a great old tree and call death a compassionate one to you. Dig into those roots. Feel the moss and the dirt cover your face. Cover your arms. Bring water and bless it and make it muddy. If you can become naked, let Earth Mother take you beyond your family of humanity and take your rage to her. She shows you. For there, in the interconnectedness of the mycelium of mushrooms and the roots of all trees, is an interconnectedness to your ancestors, an interconnectedness to the immigrants, to the path down across oceans, over miles and miles and miles on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma and reservations, from the Cherokee territory of the Appalachians. Death will walk with you from Poland to Jerusalem to Israel, and with it create a wailing wall. Death will take you to the Isla de las Mujeres in Mexico off the coast of the Mayan Peninsula, outside of Cancun. It will take you to a chapel where children come and sing to the Holy Mother Mary, and you will weep because she is only relegated to a small part of this chapel, whereas the crucified son is relegated to the main part of the nave of the church. Why do we keep crucifying men and wonder why they succeed at suicide? Why we lose men to being so much a provider that they hurt their own hearts and their creative spirits? Look at the statistics of the loss in fury and rage by men and women expressing homicidal tendencies. How many more men in penitentiaries are there than women? How many more men on death row than women on death row? And what do we do to rehabilitate that when it costs $150,000 to keep them 1 year there, uniformed, graced with a bed, more than the homeless, and three meals a day? Do we give them a wheel of grief to walk through their life ages and stages? Do we give them a safe place? Not just to pound the tin cups on the railings, on the bars of their cells. Do we lend them a library of courses in miracles? Yes, we do in some places. Or trainings in leadership, or somatic therapy, and Peter Levine's work in releasing trauma. No, we don't. We neglect that. Just as mothers were neglected, just as children were neglected, we continue and perpetrate in this wheel of grief a cycle of neglect. We neglect at conception to be conscious of our fertility cycles and the setting that we could be so aware of that conceives a sacred child. And we neglect the dying and the dead. And we neglect those who are crucified in the name of our own denial. We are a society in North America, particularly, was lost that access point to the ceremonies of four directions, of the above, the fifth, to the below, to the sixth, to the seventh within, and to the all around, which is the eighth direction. So we have lost our compasses. We don't know how to navigate, and that is a cause for grief, for fury, and yes, for rage. So here in the North, find the song. Find the frequency of your village. Find the resonance of those you can go to who are strong enough to hold a no-bullshit zone for you. and or are strong enough to poke you and provoke you when you go into this namby-pamby wussiness, and I am not judging, and yes, it is a judgment, but where you resort to your victim and say, poor me, and why didn't you help me? Don't go there. You need in the north the fire. To tend a fire, you need a sweat lodge. You need to be able to work hard picking up rocks and redesigning a garden. You need to work out in a gym on Nautilus equipment. You need to rehydrate yourself and make sure you take mineral salts. And again, homeopathic remedies for grief. To work through this is not personal. It's a trauma, a pattern that you took on. And it's your exclusive responsibility to say no more, ignoring. And let's rehydrate on that one. Here in the north, we must remember that to be regenerative, we must regenerate. We must be able to do exercises, be philanthropic and generous with ourselves during the 24 hours of our day. From 45 to 65, we must develop the discipline of taking care of our physical instrument called the bodies. We must open our hearts rather than leave ourselves open to a heart attack. We must go and give to our communities of youth and be tender and yet fierce. And if we can do both and, then we can walk the path of elders. They can walk the path of apprenticeship and receive rites of passage. Here in the north, we must stand strong for the forest, for the tundra, for the taiga. We must stand strong for the northern people, the Inuit. Today is Nunavut Day in Canada. Happy Nunavut Day. I have three eagles flying right over me right now. All three of them white-headed. One for Natalie, one for me, and one for all of you. Have a vision today here in the north. Retrieve a vision and a value and a set of qualities that are the essences and uniquenesses of who you are. Then go to skills and abilities. Be passionate about knowing the essence and quality that you embody. And here in the north, start sharing it. As you give away after the grief, you will find generosity, charity, hope, faith, trust, wisdom, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So as we come to closure here in the north, I invite you to sit at the roots of that tree. Accept all your ancestral gifts as many generations back as you can. Signify them and create your own medicine wheel, a stone or a twig or a flower all around you. You with your back against this great tree. You are walking in the center. You are a compass point. You have directions around you. You're learning to navigate content of your story, your ages and stages wheel. And you are finding elders, teachers, wisdom keepers. You are learning that you have always walked with death. And death is an ally. It's not a cumbersome affair. You don't need to save $5,000 to pay for your own casket. Find ways to die with dignity. Last year, I had the opportunity to work with to journey with a woman whose husband chose euthanasia. It was a challenge for me because after saying yes, I journeyed for 7 days with his spirit, and I got that there were alternatives to his Alzheimer's. But there was not enough support in his family for caretaking for him to actually commit to doing that, the steps to reverse the signature for that disease. So he chose euthanasia. Saturday was the ceremony, and Sunday I was called upon to Skype with her overlooking the Northwest Pacific from her little island off the coast of Washington. I felt him standing there, sorrowful for her. He was grieving on the other side, In Tibetan Buddhism, we say 49 days. In the Jewish tradition, we walk that Siva longer than that. And the family's taken care of. He was saddened that she didn't feel the resilience and resourcefulness enough to extend their life as a married couple. I was saddened, and I had to speak the message to her. For she, in her grief, in her denial of responsibility of what she could have done, guilt and shame, bore her down deeply into the source of this earth, as many women and men suffer from. And I don't know how long it took for her to recover, to reclaim herself. Unfortunately, we often gather other people around us who do not know how to hold space and say, okay, it's done. Let's do the celebration next week. Let's get on with our lives. We're busy. We have a project, an initiative. We have something else in our family to tend to. How sad that she did not actually hear the message that I was paid to deliver. And the payment is irrelevant. I was volunteering for a service that had dignity and purpose, and the message was not heard. How often is our grief dependent upon our messages being heard, and yet we lay our messages out at the feet of fools, at the feet of those not willing to say, yes, I will listen. In the hearts of those who have heart walls and are so protected from their own trauma and their own heart burdens, or so enmeshed in their pain bodies and codependencies and addictions, why do we bother sharing messages of note, of high notes, of keynotes, of deep notes, of rooted wisdom? Because we ourselves do not know how to discern who is available. So today I pray for you. Listeners, it behooves you to listen. As Natalie said at the beginning of this offering, this is sacred. These wheels of your ages and stages and this grief wheel and death as your accompanying symphony, this is sacred. This earth you walk on is sacred. And I invite you, as we edit into this song by Mitan singing to Deva Pumel, to realize his lyrics and the tonal quality of his love is death's calling to you. It's someone in the universe from the other side or somewhere on this planet in some direction is singing Matan's words to your heart, to your soul, to your spirit, so that you can embody the essence and wholeness and be here now in service, because you belong to our village. You are loved. Till death do us part, know this, death never parts us. Death is an ally. We leave the body, and spirit consciousness continues. Om Adyat, Om Adakuyas. Let's take a moment to rest.
Like a river, it's burning red at the close of day. With yours side by side, I have no choice. I simply love you that way. And it's like that. It's like this. It's exactly as it is. It's a natural affair. There's no mystery there. It's exactly as it is. Simply love you and the healing light from the blessed sun still shines for you. My beloved one, shining on this river, it's burning red at the close of day. I've seen that river so still, seen it roaring in flood. You are the river running in my blood, and I rejoice that I have loved you this way. And it's like that. Oh, and it's like this. It's exactly as it is. It's a natural affair. There's no mystery there. It's exactly as it is. Simply love you.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
So now, my darlings, we have walked wheels within wheels within wheels. And the universe is really a great spiral going up and down. So shall we walk into the center and spiral? 7 steps into the center of this medicine wheel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hug the tree of your life, this axis mundi, this trunk of this great one world tree. Know that you have met in the bark your own skin. Know that in the linnea of this one world tree, you have met your life force, 4 to 7 billion of years old. Know that on this planetary dispensation time on planet Earth, you are being tapped as an Aquarian, one who brings forth a new age, and it is the end of cycles upon cycles upon cycles upon cycles. And you will find that echoing in the core of your being and take time to let it go. Grieve it fully before you step into something new. Let it go. And hold that tree and look up. At the top of the tree are stars. A celestial heaven singing and dancing every night, whether it's cloud-filled sky or clear. The basin of heaven is concave. It contains a place from whence you came. And let your star nature descend. For you are this. And there in an evening sky are the new moons and the full moons, 13 full moons, 13 new moons, 26 in total. And amongst the branches of the tree of your family, this great one world family, are all the stages of the moon, phases and songs and phrases, mantras, teachings and rituals, for the beginning of blood and the end of blood, for the beginning of wet dreams and the end of wet dreams, for the living of truth and principles. And this is you. And here up in the skies from whence you came, not only are there planets, but this solar seasonal shift. And you are this sunlight, this solar intelligence. Let this descend, this tree of one world life, and you. Embody the starlight, the lunar light, the solar light. Be impregnated with mana, the prayers of lineages, as you open your mouth like a hungry little eagle and reach up for the prayers that can feed you and feed the hungry ghosts that haunt you. Swallow unconditional love. So, my darlings, go if you must. Stay in this knowing, if you will. With humor and humility, we let you go back to source. To the east, to the apus, to the place in the rising sun, to the dawn of every day, to the motivation of your way that you choose to conceive of self, to labor and deliver yourself to this world, we ask you to be courageous. Stay. Persevere, continue, and go if you must. Stay in your hearts at dawn, if you will, with humor and humility. We send you back to source. To the south, to the place of childhood and innocence, the serpent of light, we say to you, write a new story today. Stand on your own 2 feet, liberate yourself and be curious and willing. What will the rest of your life be like, the day be like, this new cycle on earth be like? What will it be like? So stay in curiosity, if you will, and be innocent inside, if you choose. With humor and humility, we let you go back to source. And here in the West, we say it's death's door, woman's door, the dark lodge, the place where all the teachings are held by the Oglalas, holy ones. Here in the deep womb of despair, I want you to give birth to knowing that you are the air, the water, you are breath itself, and you are the resurrection of who and what has been waiting for you. Dare, embolden, love, come. High noon, look, come out of the shadow. So with humor and humility, we let you go back to source. And to the north, this place of the Aurora Borealis, to the northern ones, to the great teachings of the north. Though we may sit in the season of our lives where it looks like there's just tundra and taiga or coldness, the reality is we take that light of all the other seasons within ourselves to remind ourselves the dancing fire in the northern skies is fire. So even in the darkest places of our souls, in the coldest times of our lives, when we wonder if there really is hope or faith, we wonder if there is truth or trust, know that your ancestors and death has always been with you. The death of your forgetfulness, spiritual amnesia. So stay awake here in the north, if you will. Go, if you must, to dance like the fires in the sky. With humor and humility, we let you go. Back to source. And to the deep below, to the grandmothers, to the crystal core, to the crystal skulls, to the first fire tetuari, we ask you to remind yourself, stay grounded in these times. Stay deep. Put your seven chakras onto the earth. Let her hold you, embrace you. Let her tell you she's millions and billions of years old and she has more to give you in four stones than a family can. And she needs to cough out whatever needs to be coughed out. So go, my darlings, if you will. Stay in your hearts. Be true to yourself, to love. Back to source with humor. I give thanks to all our relations. I give thanks to the spiral goddess, the above, the below, the all around.
Thank you so much, Grandmother Karina, for this journey. And, you know, I want to know what are you offering these days and where can people find you if they want to perhaps do deeper work with you or reach out and connect?
Thank you, Natalie. The Sacred Wheels are ongoing. I've just finished in South Oregon Spirit Weavers, and the reality is that we touched over 340 women's lives in 8 offerings of the wheels, and I want to give thanks to Maria Stark for being a steadfast co-facilitator and holding that wheel space with me for sure, and Jessica DiCarlo for being my helper in the Sun Lodge, and Molly Burns for being my helper in the Moon Lodge. And so out of that, what got birthed, labored and delivered, and got birthed was a facilitator training in Sacred Wheels. So I'm really excited to be offering that. And I'm looking at creating a 4-month training in the Sacred Wheel work. And so what's required is a full-on experience with Grandmother in the 4 wheels. And you can ask me at karinatruth.hotmail.com to send you the audio links. We're within a week going to have transcriptions available as well, so you can start working on that. I just need to know if you're interested, so let me know if that's up for you. Second thing is, I am diving into co-creativitas again and opening the portal to already committed people, because I've been away in Oregon and just gotten myself regrounded here in the Northwest Pacific, Vancouver Island North. And co-creativitas is a 3- and 6-month bundle work of 6 2-hour sessions, 3 45-minute sessions, and 21 templates. if you're already signed up for that, have deep faith and trust. I am about to negotiate a scheduling for us to get reconnected and continue that work. For those of you who are called to travel intensively in the medicine path and ways of elders and grandmothers, and you can be men and women, by the way, then you need to contact me again at cuttingatruth@hotmail.com. Do a one-to-one first. It requires a very extensive intake before we schedule a two-hour, and then it's mutual agreement whether you are whether we are a good match for us to travel those 3 and 6 month programs. Lastly, I have 45 minutes discovery sessions that I'm offering only to Spirit Weavers women. And these are for contribution only. I've scheduled 12 of them, knowing that we have about 55 to 60 women who signed up for sessions. You have to really jump at it when you get the email in your inbox and you want a yes, 45 minutes, jump in. I've rewritten a discovery intake of one page. You need to complete it and book a session. Contributions are welcome, and it will be throughout the next 4 weeks. And lastly, we have a newsletter. Co-Cree Avatars has been publishing a newsletter for over 3 years. Sonia Primorano has been with us for 2 years. Yay, Sonia, thank you with my whole heart. She is slowly transiting, ending of cycles. And Reba Campbell will be coming on stage as our editor in training for the next 4 months. We're publishing a new moon special this week because of the solar eclipse and Capricorn full moon was so strong. And we will be publishing newsletter July full moon the 27th. If you would like to author and or be a musician featured in our newsletter, or if you would like to work on our team, we would love for you to contact Sonia Primorano and offer your specific services and your availability. It's a monthly, it tends to be anywhere from a 2 to a 4 to a 30 hour position. And we're looking at funding through fundraising, funding the person who takes on the helm of that newsletter and reimbursing Sonia for her time as well. Lastly, I want to say deep prayers for Africa. Deep prayers for the Middle East, deep prayers and a request for forgiveness in North America that we forget there's so much suffering in the world, there's so much death in the world, there's so much conflict in the world, and there's so much call for charitable offerings in terms of money, in terms of clothing, of food, in terms of medical services and educational services as Puerto Rico rebuilds itself after the hurricane. There is still child war, child soldiering going on in the Congo. There are still Syrian families and refugee camps by the thousands in the Middle East. Germany is backlogged at their borders with what to do with refugees coming into their country. These are issues that we must wake up to. And dream freedom beauty means to dream all of reality, all of us into freedom. And what would happen if we could redistribute the wealth of these teachings and open our homes and open our lands and open our arms to greet each other as neighbors and friends for world peace, for all our relations, Om Atat, Om Takwas, gratitude, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Grandma. And we will put links to all of these in the show notes as well for people to contact you. And hello, little bird tweeting its way into the show.
Yeah.
And just thank you, listeners, for going on this journey. Feel free to reach out and let us know what it brought up for you. And thank you, all of our guides who have held us in this container. Thank you. Thank you, Grandmother.
You're so welcome.